Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Someone who also defines greatness in our mind, that's Neil Kulong. Sir, welcome.
Greatness defined indeed. It is great to be here. Thank you again for having me.
It's always a pleasure, my friend. I want to start with Deshaun Watson. The Steelers, as an organization, made a conscious decision that, nope, this is not the direction we're going. What kind of statement, it's two-pronged, but what kind of statement do you think that the Browns are making to their fan base about not only trading for him, but giving him the kind of contract structure that in some way insulates him?
I think to answer that, we have to be clear about the four things that are going on with that from Cleveland's perspective. One, they're not concerned with the ongoing investigation or the allegations made against him. I'll just put that out there. That's just obviously the case. Two, the draft capital they're giving up is worth the player that they're acquiring. Three, the amount of money that they are then giving him, which is pretty significantly above the huge deal that he had. That's also not of consequence to them. Four, lumping all of that together, they want a quarterback. And to be honest, as a franchise that just really hasn't had one, you can understand where that desire might come to. But if we were to compare that to the Steelers flatly saying no, to the point where if people want something fun to troll Browns fans on, keep in mind, Deshaun Watson's preferred location was Pittsburgh. He wanted to play for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. The Steelers were kind of the only team to really say no when there might have been mutual interest there. I don't think Houston would have been real thrilled in having to acquire Pittsburgh's capital over the next couple of years with Watson joining their team. Those picks are probably in the 20s. At the very least, they get, 12 or 13 from the Browns this year. But top to bottom, it's the definition of an all-in move. I mean, you really can't define it any more clearly than that. The Browns did not care at all about everything that they had to do in order to acquire that player. And I think it's pretty plain and obvious. This has never happened in NFL history. Nobody has ever gone this far, given up this much, paid this much to a player with that much scrutiny surrounding him. You have to have a fifth gear of not caring what people around you are saying. If that's the move that you're going to make, if you're going to put that much capital into it. And I think the fact that the announced trade at the time was short on a pick. Houston tagged a pick on at the end, and Cleveland didn't seem to care about that either.
Right.
It just kind of makes me laugh. It's like, yeah, may as well, throw in the proverbial bag of footballs while you're at it. I mean, you're giving up everything, and you are putting all of your reputation and all of your football team probably over at least the next 4 years on the success of a player that, to put it mildly, strains professional credibility right now. So it's gutsy, give him that. But we've seen him. He can play. But for Cleveland, for what they did, they better not sniff 9-8. They better be a 12 or 13 win team for the next couple of years. And we'll see how that shapes out for him.
I used this as an example earlier. I said, as we all know, O.J. Simpson was found not guilty in a court of law. Different circumstance, different case. But the Goldman family, didn't back off, and they brought him to a civil suit that netted $33 million and a lot of odd admissions on the witness stand by the defendant. That's where Watson's headed. It's the potential of civil suits and the potential of as many as 22 of them along the way. And that's part of it. Now this is only me speaking. If you give me a choice between Deshaun Watson as a football player, there's no question which way I go as the football player. But with the current circumstances, you give me a choice between Deshaun Watson and Mitchell Trubisky, I will respect my fan base, and I will go with Mitchell Trubisky. because I think for my fan base, guess what? I made the right move overall.
Yeah, I really couldn't dispute that either. And I'll be honest, because this is probably more in line with most of teams in the NFL and how they'll think. I can't, for the life of me, I can't guarantee that amount of money for a player who's involved in whatever it is that Deshaun Watson's involved in.
Right.
I take a flyer on the guy. I might give him the deal I gave Mitch Trubisky. None of it guaranteed. Give him incentives to earn some of it back, and a lot of that's going to be off the field conduct as well. I'm going to protect myself in such a deal if I'm going to bring that player on. Deshaun Watson got arguably the most valuable contract in NFL history, to a point where, keep in mind that the hullabaloo around everything right now is the fact that he'll be suspended. I mean, there's no way he's going to avoid suspension.
That's right.
And the money that he will give up with that suspension is taken out of his base pay, which is $1 million in year one.
Exactly.
People are accusing the Browns of orchestrating that, when in reality, guess how much money T.J. Watt made last year in base salary? $1 million. That is not rare at all. In fact, it's common with long-term, big-money contracts like that. And the reason the NFL hasn't closed that loophole, I'm sure they're going to now, is because nobody guarantees that much money to a guy who's facing a suspension. It
right.
doesn't happen.
Right.
So there was no reason to before. So it's weird. It's unfortunate in that sense. And maybe they'll figure out some way to address that. But there wasn't a need to do it, because you don't guarantee money to players who are facing that kind of a suspension. And it's obvious that Cleveland's aware of where the NFL is going to land with all of it. So that said, it'll be whatever it's going to be, and they'll deal with it. But the amount of heat that they're taking on with this, oddly enough, I mean, he better be Aaron Rodgers. And he hasn't played for a year. Keep that in mind. He was not suspended by the team last year. He was not suspended by the league. He chose not to play. He requested, if not demanded, a trade out of Houston before all of this even came up. He chose not to play, and I think it was agreed upon by everybody involved that him not playing is probably the best thing for him to do. So what type of player he's going to be? I've said on this segment a bunch over the years, Steve, and you know this, you don't get better at playing football by not playing football.
Exactly.
So
I've said that over and over again.
Let's see what happens here.
Yep.
My thing is, you get back on the field, you play competitively, you cut on joints that aren't used to cutting against pro players,
yep.
Boom, there goes your Achilles, there goes your ACL. Imagine what happens then. You know, he's going to serve a suspension while he's on IR. I'm sure that'll go over well, but that's 2 years removed from being on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the heavy money of his deal coming up. So it's hard to describe the level of risk relative to how contracts are signed in the NFL. It's hard to explain how abnormal the whole deal is and how much Cleveland is taking on. And with that, it has, you know, every indication that, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this could be the biggest busted deal the NFL has seen since the Herschel Walker trade. And I don't think anybody ever thought that was going to be top. This
right.
very well could end up being that.
All right, so now let's transition to the Steelers. I feel like one of the interesting and I think valuable under-the-radar signings was Miles Jack. What can he do for that defense, in your opinion?
I think with Jack, what we see from him now is he is a high-level pass defender. I think he can still blitz, but he's a high-level pass defender.
Mm-hmm.
He's better in space. He's better in coverage. He's not your kind of, to use the Mike Tomlin cliche, not your run and hit linebacker anymore. He's not just like a pure A-gap guy. His run defense probably isn't the best, but let's be honest, two-thirds of the plays in the league are passes now.
Yep.
So clearly there's a wide shift in how linebackers are being used. And Jack was as coveted as he was when he came out, largely because of that versatility. He can cover deep down the field. I mean, we on one of our sites, we put up a highlight of him carrying Cole Beasley 15, 20 yards down the field, and he's with him stride for stride. You know, that's not every linebacker can do that. When you have that ability to take away that seam route, whether it's a tight end, slot receiver, running back, when you're able to do that, you have a high level of value. And to be honest, I think they drafted Devin Bush with that sort of thing in mind. I'm not sure if they're, you know, reaping the benefits of that as of now, but they definitely weren't getting it from Joe Schobert. So the joke that I made was literally Kevin Colbert walked into a store, traded in Joe Schobert, and got Miles Jack out of it.
Yep.
Basically the same price. Probably coming out ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely a home run signing for them. We'll see. I mean, the thing on Jack, and I know Jack Welch, I absolutely loved him in college. I loved him coming out.
Yeah.
The knee injury that he had, and more importantly, the degenerative issues that they found because of that injury, that's what dropped into the second round. People weren't going to guarantee that much money over a player that you aren't really sure how long he's going to be able to play. He might be kind of dipping into that right now, but a two-year deal for a player we saw last season play at a high level, it really isn't all that expensive, and it's a home run of a deal if he pans out to the level you think he's going to. You got him on a discount. Their defense is going to get drastically better up the middle, which is absolutely what they needed to do in this offseason. I think Jack fits that bill incredibly well.
Neil, anything else on the radar for the Steelers in free agency before they really start setting up with the draft?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I think this is interesting, and it's all speculation. It's just, if we're to connect the dots, I really like Tyrann Mathieu's fit in Pittsburgh. I like it financially. I like it from a versatility perspective. I like it from the fact that the Steelers tend to want to start two safeties and play two safeties on the field, and they don't really have a second safety right now.
Right.
The question is probably going to be length of contract with Mathieu, as we've seen with the Steelers. They're enamored by two-year deals. I don't know if that's just the thing to do now or what. But
can I point that out? With Kevin Colbert at the end, I think the two-year deal is to give just a little bit of a pad for the next GM.
Very well could be.
Just my opinion, Neil.
It's a good question to ask one of them, and we'll see if they would give a concrete answer on what that would be. Because really, it looks to me more like they're trying to save cap space in future years so they could sign bigger deals. So to me, if you want to do Mathieu for 3 years, which I'll admit is a risk at age 32, it doesn't fit in the profile of what they've been doing. They've been signing younger players to the 3-plus-year deals. Everybody else with 2-year deals. So Mathieu, I think, would get 3 years from somebody. He's that talented. You'll tack on a third year to get a great year one from him and go from there. I think the Steelers should roll the dice on that just because of the versatility they would get on the back end between Minka Fitzpatrick and Tyrann Mathieu is unreal. Easily the best pair of safeties in the game.
No doubt.
They've loaded up their cornerback position. They've got 4 veterans signed to extensions. I don't think they've ever done that. And a draft yet to go. They improved their inside linebackers. They've got good edge rushers, and they can still add to what's already a good defensive line. They could be a top 3 defense with Mathieu. I think it's the type of defense that can get, as many as 2 takeaways a game. I mean, how much pressure does that take off your offense if you're able to take the ball away that often? Especially in a pass-happy league, you have loaded up against the pass. They should be a great pass defensive team. Mathieu, I think, would accentuate that to a huge deal. So for
I
think that'd be the move to make if we're still asking. And every day passes by, it kind of seems to me like, maybe that's what's going on here. If he wants to come here, if they can get it figured out, he's got to know that they have a great opportunity of being really, really good.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because I thought about that as well. That there are certain guys, and it's because of how they play, but the ball finds them because they have the ability to know where the ball's going. Mathieu was one of those guys, right? The ball finds him. That's because he finds the ball.
Yep, and that's kind of how you play team defensive football nowadays.
Yep.
You're putting guys in position to find out what an offense is doing during the play. Read and react to it. More than anything, though, what it does is it takes away the top of an offensive plan because Fitzpatrick doesn't need to come down all that much.
That's right.
Have plenty of packages in which he doesn't have to move past deep center field, and he can really do what he does best. They had him come down probably a little bit more for a variety of different reasons. I think, again, it's probably the lack of drop ability from your inside linebackers. It takes care of that a little bit. But Matthew can play underneath. He can roam around. He can make plays on the slot. He can cover the slot up the field. He can cover outside if you want to. It just, he adds so much more of an element of versatility and confusion. You put all that together, panic throws, helping what's already an outstanding pass rush and has been for six seasons now. He would be a fantastic addition.
Yeah,
they
would
have a great defensive year if he was back there and everybody stayed healthy.
And not, I mean, and you're right, because I mean, really, the Steelers, who with Dick LeBeau, it was Blitzburg, but they're good enough to rush four. They rush four. Now you've got a lot of, you know, Matthew can play center field.
Yeah. Your talent is in the seven that are dropping back.
You know,
it'd be tempting to just not blitz at all because of that. They can get pass rush, but they'll get if you disguise those four and you're dropping at a variety of different depths and angles and cover, it's going to be really hard to move the ball against that team. You know, the more I talk about it, the more I hope it happens.
Well,
they'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Because it would make life for Trubisky and the offense much easier, because they'll be getting field position off takeaways that, you know, suddenly like, well, look at that offense. And like, look at the starting position they're getting. What a difference that makes.
Yeah, I mean, all the field goal drives that Trubisky could lead in that situation would be fantastic.
Oh, no.
No,
now I'm back to the Cotton Bowl. Because I'm doing the Cotton Bowl game. I'm doing the Cotton Bowl game. And in that game, Penn State scored seven touchdowns. All right. And Memphis scored three touchdowns. And they kicked, I don't know, what, five, six field goals in the game. And I said, look, it takes three field goals to beat a touchdown.
Yep.
I made that ingenious statement. Thank you.
Yep. You get the ball twice and take it away once, and it's 9-7 probably with the Mitch Trubisky-led offense. I'll spare that for another time. But, yeah, I think a high-level defense would definitely be in their best interest right now, because I'm not sure what they're seeing about themselves offensively.
My friend, thank you so much. Appreciate you, as always.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.